Hey, it's Big Joe for your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, Absolute Comfort. Chris Wedekin is the owner, and he tells us why many homeowners are giving up their air conditioners for a high-efficiency heat pump.
By removing your air conditioner and replacing it with a heat pump, you are not only saving by getting a higher-efficiency air conditioner, the heat pump works in reverse and saves you money in the wintertime as well.
See if a heat pump is the right move for you by going to AbsoluteComfort.org. Absolute Comfort is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
Bright and or partly cloudy skies.
Tara Hastings, do you have headshots, like professional, look at me, I'm a meteorologist, headshots?
Yes, from the station, yeah.
Yeah, I think I need new headshots.
Oh, you need, yeah, I think you need to update those every year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna have to. Did you sit for yours, or were you like in some kind of standing position, looking very meteorologist-like?
I was standing. Yes. And, I don't know how it looked meteorological-like, but
was there a pose per se?
No. I just stood there. I always have a weird. I'd never know what to do with my hands. I kind of just, like, hold them awkwardly.
If I could suggest, that's what cigars and bourbon are for. Cigar in one hand, bourbon in the other. Next thing you know, boom. You don't have to worry about nothing.
See, there we go. I like it.
Yeah. I need new headshots.
I like that idea.
I'm going to have to get new headshots. All right. You've convinced me. That's what I need to do.
Oh, good.
All right. Good talk.
Happy to help.
Tara Hastings, Wish TV, right there. Right now, it's 35 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 8:08. AI generated? AI-generated headshots. Really? You know, there's a whole story that AI is making everybody stupid. I have it. It's there on the show sheet. You can get it at TonyKatz.com. I am Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Here it is. That ChatGPT is making people stupid. Linked to declining academic performance and memory loss. Now, I'm not sure how you already decide that. It was published in the International Journal of Educational Technology and Higher Education, which, as everybody knows, is one heck of a read. Reliance on ChatGPT is linked to procrastination, memory loss, and a decline in academic performance, and also memory loss. See what I did there? Come on, that's good. That's world class. That is a joy and a treat I did right there. It's a really interesting article. You understand that you have a generation utilizing AI to answer the questions, to do the homework, to do all sorts of things. And so therefore, they're not actually getting information into their brain. There's no actual study. There's no methodologies for retention. So I think this is fascinating. That they're already seeing it, which says to me, I clearly don't understand the depths to which this is being used in schools right now. I don't know if my kids use ChatGPT. From what I can see, no. And if I saw it, I'd be pretty angry about it. You know what? I'm going to go ask them right now. I'm going to go accuse them of something they probably haven't done just because that's what good parenting is. No? Yeah, maybe I'll ask ChatGPT what good parenting is. That's what I'll do. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. To a couple of members of Congress, that I have no interest in a congressional delegation that isn't looking quite seriously at a fellow member of Congress outside of the delegation that's standing up for terrorism. Tony Katz, great to be with you. When Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez decided that she, in all seriousness, when asked about Hamas's actions, she was not going to call out Hamas for kidnapping. This is all about Israel and how Israel has to stop. No willingness at all to say that kidnapping children and women is wrong. Well, this has to be dealt with. This was Representative Ocasio-Cortez with Jake Tapper of CNN.
They also, Israeli officials also argue, this war could end tomorrow if Hamas freed the hostages and laid down the arms. Do you disagree?
I do disagree, because when we are talking about famine, the actions of Hamas should not be tied to whether a three-year-old can eat. The actions of Hamas do not justify forcing thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to eat grass as their bodies consume themselves.
Representative Ocasio-Cortez is taking the side of Hamas. I understand how she pulls at the heartstrings. She's taking the side of terrorists that somehow, stunningly, amazingly, shockingly, this all just happened, as opposed to assessing blame. Hamas picked the battle. Hamas picked the battlefield. Your issue, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, is that war is hell. And you have yet to come to grips with the fact that Hamas started the war. All the leftists can't figure this one out. What they want to do, what they look to do, is go about assessing a blame for the response. The bombing of Dresden never would have taken place. The Second World War never would have been won if people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez or people like Indianapolis communist Jesse Brown were in charge. The good guy would get destroyed, because somehow the good guy is not allowed to respond. And yes, I consider Israel to be the good guy. Now, you might not see it as good guy, bad guy. You might see it as, well, they got attacked, they're responding. The idea that I can have an issue with Israeli politics or Israeli policy is different than whether or not I see an issue with Israel's right to exist. I see, for example, the right of the United Kingdom to exist. And I think when they fly a Pakistani flag over a church, I think they're doing themselves a great disservice. And I question whether or not they view their own right to exist. But make no mistake that war is hell. I see it. I get that. I'm down for that. I don't have to concede. That is a fact. But here is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying that kidnapping of women and children is acceptable. As a matter of fact, you're not even allowed to talk about it. It's all about how Israel responds. And for that, Representative Ocasio-Cortez should be removed from committees. For that, she should be expelled. That is giving aid and comfort to a terrorist organization. That is about supporting the idea of kidnapping, supporting the idea of hostages. And every member of the Indiana delegation should be pushing the speaker right now to remove her from all her committees. She should be expelled. Now, Jew-hating Andre Carson said it, meant it. I'm not the only person to have said it, by the way. You support Rashida Tlaib, you support Ilhan Omar, you support Louis Farrakhan. I think I'm more than okay in my description of Congressman Carson. I know I'm not going to get his vote. He has made his decision, his despicable, awful decision. Frank Mervan, there in the first district, Democrat, I don't know. I'm assuming he wouldn't. But I have seven more Republicans in Indiana. I demand that they move to remove Representative Ocasio-Cortez from her committees for taking the side of terrorists. The United States is abstaining from resolutions. A resolution that says Israel should engage in immediate ceasefire. It's non-binding. What does that matter? It's about leadership. Representative Victoria Spartz joins me right now from the Indiana 5th District. It's a race for the nomination in the 5th District. We'll get into that. But the move from the United States, Representative, to abstain from that vote in the UN. It was a call for a ceasefire, and the U.S. isn't saying no, they're abstaining. What did that say to you?
Well, listen, Tony, it's very, truly, truly embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us. It's unbelievable, but it's also, think about it. Israel, our strongest ally and friend in the Middle East, what it showed the rest of the world, that we're abandoning our ally. This has a significant national security implications on us as a country. And really, doing it that in a very challenging time for Israel, like right now, It's just really despicable, and this administration is a total mess that they've done it. We abandoned allies in Afghanistan. You know, we've seen what was happening around the world, and it's really it causes us serious national security threats and implications.
The overarching conversation, or one of the overarching conversations regarding Israel, is, of course, this funding that's tied to Ukraine funding, that's tied to Taiwan funding, that's right now not existent in the House. Speaker Johnson won't bring that to the floor, even though it passed the Senate. Should the House be voting on this funding, or, as he has looked at it, border funding and significant border funding needs to come first?
Well, listen, a border is extremely important, and I was very, very disappointed that it's in this, you know, package we just passed, and I did not support it. There are a lot of other concerns with this, you know, appropriations omnibus that we passed, but that was one of the bigger reasons I did not vote for it, because I felt we had Department of Homeland Security appropriation, and we should have had border security. This is number one, you know, our national security issue. But I also think, you know, we passed, you know, we can talk about it, and there are a lot of variety of different concerns with Ukraine and other things, lack of strategy and oversight. But with Israel, we passed actually several times. Aid to Israel, we have to do it, and Schumer and Biden have been blocking it. Okay, and I think we need to come back and really put pressure, because we don't need to put this omnibuses, all of these packages together. We could have passed border security, they fail us. We passed Israel aid, they failed us. And they do nothing about, you know, helping. And honestly, they start appeasing a lot of adversaries around the world. And now we have pretty much Iran, you know, getting pretty much to the point when they can have nuclear weapons. We don't worry about Russia, you know, waving their nuclear flag. Can you imagine Iran having nuclear weapons? This is a very dangerous situation. Or giving $1 billion from Ukrainian aid to, you know, to Yemen, to Houthis in Yemen that are attacking our ships right now. This is just insane and stupid.
Talking to Congresswoman Victoria Spartz of the 5th District of Indiana. Full disclosure, my member of Congress. Let's talk about this race, Congresswoman, while we still have a couple of minutes. You weren't going to run for re-election. People got into the race. Then you decide to run for re-election. And this race has started to get nasty. How are things going so far? And what is your take on some of the commentaries about you and your leadership style in your office?
Well, listen, it's unfortunate when people don't have anything to run on or have a bad record. They start really telling the blatant lie, and unfortunately. And this is a part of politics why a lot of good people don't even go in politics. So, you know, we now need to get out and really show the record and what in a different
email record than, you know, some of my opponents have a terrible one, you know. And I think this is something where it's becoming now where you can buy election with money, where you can tell what you want and really lie to people. And this is sad, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, this is a very tough time for our country. And, you know, if I would have known that we have a good, great person is going to replace me in Congress, I probably would rather, you know, spend some time home. But I know what these challenging times are, and I know what is at stake, and know how many crises we have right now. I need to have strong allies. This administration failed us, but I feel bad. A lot of my colleagues are upset. A lot of people in the district. I truly have some people, you know, pretty much my constituents and veterans truly crying about the situation. These people sacrifice so much, you know, and crying that we don't have good representation in Washington and we don't have good people there. So, you know, I couldn't abandon that. And I, you know, no one likes, you know, being really, you know, truly, truly bombarded with complete lies. And some of them are very disgusting. But, as you know, Tony, unfortunately became part of politics now.
Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us. We will talk more in the days ahead, and we will be talking to more candidates in the 5th District as well. Matt.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz. 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be here. Dow futures are up 143. NASDAQ futures up 68. It's been a three-day losing streak for the S&P. They're going to look to turn things around. We know nothing more about the cargo ship that hit the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland. We know that the search and rescue mission has been called off. We're now clearly into recovery, but six construction workers are missing and assumed dead. This is horrific. We still don't have details about what happened specifically to the cargo ship. Certainly the video shows the lights going on and off, how it turned and then hit the pier. The photos, we're not just talking about photos on social media, show that the anchor was dropped. Did that change? Did that happen before the accident or after? Is the question? There's a lot here. There's a lot to learn about this ship, the Dali, flagged in Singapore. Controlled by Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K. A lot of people have been asking me about, well, don't they have insurance? They can cover this kind of accident. And the answer is, I don't know what their insurance covers or doesn't. I don't know what the claim would be. I don't know what the arguments against would be. This having to do with whether or not the federal government rebuilds the bridge. And since the bridge is a Maryland toll bridge, I'll accept the idea that there's a conversation here. Yesterday, I was like, you rebuild the bridge. What are we discussing here? If it's Maryland's bridge, well, that could be a different question. But I'm also a believer that you have to get this debris out of the way and you have to get this harbor and these ports back open. There is a tremendous amount of issue here with product. Could be a massive, massive blow to the American economy, to small business owners everywhere. There's been a conversation, as producer Carl had pointed out to me, that cars made in Indiana go through Baltimore to be shipped out to the rest of the globe. How does this boating accident, is that what we're calling it? Bridge collapse? Bridge collapse. Bridge collapse. It's just awful either way. How does it affect us here? This is not isolated, and this is not their problem. It's ours. And it's going to have economic effects. But there's no new information on cause. There is no new information on on data in terms of where what could have happened to this ship. We do know that 6 people are missing and presumed dead. That's what we know. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. More on the bridge collapse on Tony Katz today at noon. And do I have to address, I mean, am I a bad host if I don't address Donald Trump selling Bibles? I don't know if I care if Trump is selling Bibles. I don't know if other people actually care. Maybe the people that are angry with Trump for doing so, oh, look at him, it's a grift, and look at him, it's so disgusting. Maybe they're just, you know, bothered that the Bible exists. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Take these people at their word? Come on. I have never considered selling a Tony Katz Bible. Right? Comes with a place for your cigar. It would be, has notes in the margin. Sell what you sell. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this is ugly. Like, is it somehow like some rewritten version? Right? Was it Howard Zinnified? If it's the Bible, it's the Bible. I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, I might get into that. Today, I might. I will be getting into how the Department of Justice wants to push more red flag laws. This is a story, and we're going to get into Guy Relford is going to be joining me on Tony Katz today at noon to break this down. Because I started as a guy, red flag laws, I should really take the step back, is the idea that somebody is having a problem, somebody is having an issue, and you can utilize a red flag law to have their firearms for a short period of time taken from them. You could say, hey, there's a problem here. Hey, there's an issue here. And the argument of if you're a family member of somebody who has an issue, is having a mental issue, whatever it is, and you're trying to protect them and from themselves and making sure others don't get harmed, so you utilize one of these red flag laws, like, isn't that the responsible thing to do? So I started by being somebody who was absolutely in favor of red flag laws as an idea of just a rational thought. And then you saw how states abuse red flag laws. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why we can't have this. Because these people can't be trusted. And they want to utilize red flag laws as a way of circumventing the Second Amendment. Dang it. I thought we were being a responsible society. It turns out we just want to disarm the citizenry. And so now when the DOJ is launching a national center to help states implement red flag laws, you understand that that's the objective. I'll be getting into that with Guy Relford at noon. And then this, we should file this under duh.com. I'm going to share with you the headline. You are immediately going to say, well, duh, of course. All I'm going to do is share the headline. I guarantee you I will hear you from here. Are you ready? Okay, here it is. This is the Wall Street Journal. Came out on Monday. California restaurants cut jobs. All right, so that's how it starts. California, I hear you already finishing it. You wait your turn, dang it. California restaurants cut jobs as fast food wages set to rise.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, of course. You force this radical minimum wage on the state And these workers, these companies are like, we can't afford this. Sorry, you lose your job. Funny, I know a guy who said this would happen exactly this way. Oh, that's right, it was all of us. We all knew it was going to end this way. Government's going to be the do-gooder, and they're going to force these companies to pay their fair share in a living wage. But that's not how business works. So instead of allowing employees to negotiate in their best interest, they lose their job. Government, by forcing a minimum wage on America, takes away the ability of the employee to negotiate, which is weird because so many of these government freaks are so into the idea of collective bargaining and having negotiating power. Nope. You took it away from them by having this nonsense, garbage, bullcrap minimum wage. $20 an hour. You forced them in California. And so they said, all right, we'll eliminate 9 jobs here, 2 jobs here, 8 jobs here, 33 jobs there, 6 jobs there. It's economics. It's the most basic stuff. And every one of us saw it coming. All you needed was the headline. You will share that with friends later at happy hour. You will share that at the dinner table tonight. This headline from the Wall Street Journal, you can find it at tonycats.com. California restaurants cut jobs as fast food wages set to rise. And the whole table will go, well, duh, of course. You might have that one son or daughter who'll be like, oh, those companies are so greedy. And that's when you get to have a conversation about how they don't know anything about economics. They think their emotions are actually data points, and their emotions aren't data points. Data is the company can't afford to survive, and if you force them to pay $20 an hour, nobody will have a job. So what now? What now? You're talking to me about your passions and your emotions. You can have them, but it isn't reality. Here's reality. Here's reality. This is what you have to deal with. And as soon as you understand this, you'll be ready for the world. It's there for you at tonycats.com. We got Kendall and Casey up next, and then I'm back at noon, and then Hammer and Nigel, they do some jibber-jabber stuff. Lord only knows what's going on in the evening. Tony Kinnett. We got a full day today over here at WIBC, people.